Saul's conversion is a turning point in the book of Acts. And even though he's going to disappear for a few chapters after this, the rest of the book of Acts will focus almost entirely on him and what he's doing, especially starting in chapter 13. But his conversion here in Acts chapter 9 is important not only for the book of Acts, but it's important also for what it has to teach us. Because we met Saul, or if you'd prefer to call him Paul, at the end of chapter 7, where he was the leader of those who put Stephen to death. And Luke told us at that time that Saul, or Paul, led a great persecution against the saints in Jerusalem, dragging off men and women alike to prison, testifying against them in court, even having some of them put to death. Paul was doing everything that he could to fight against the church. And he believed that he was doing the right thing when he did it. He believed that he was serving God, that he was upholding the truth by putting down these heretics. There were few who had done more to oppose the church of God than this man. In fact, in the book of Galatians, he describes his own time in this way. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. And now here in chapter 9, apparently he felt the need to go somewhere else to carry out his work. He wanted to go to Damascus, a city which was far to the northeast of Jerusalem. Perhaps he had heard that there were some Christians there. And so he went to the chief priests and asked them for permission to go. And having received that permission, while he went on his way, fully prepared to catch any that he found in Damascus and drag them back to Jerusalem, where he would deal with them just as he had done so many times before. But somewhere on that road to Damascus, Paul found himself surrounded by a bright light. And it caused him to fall down to the ground, completely overwhelmed. And as I imagine he was confused in the midst of that light, suddenly he also heard a voice speaking to him. He heard the voice of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him, starting in verse 5, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now, it's important to mention at this point that Paul will talk about this event in Acts chapter 9 two more times in the book of Acts. And every time that he tells this again, he gives a little bit more detail about what happened on that day. But I think for right now, the important thing to do is to focus on what Jesus is saying to him. Because Paul had been persecuting Christians. We know that. He'd been dragging them off to prison, killing them simply because he thought he was serving God. He believed he was fighting for God the whole time. But Jesus now tells him the opposite. He'd actually been fighting against God this whole time. Because Christians, the church is the body of Christ. We are all joined together into one in Him. And just as our whole body suffers when one member suffers, like when you stub your toe and the whole body hurts because of it, so also Jesus suffers with his people. He feels the pains that they feel. He knows the rejection that they face. Jesus says to us, if they hate you, it's because they hated me first. Jesus knows everything we're going through. But that should bring us comfort, Christians, to know that Jesus has not left us alone. Jesus knows all that we endure. And God not only hears the cries of his people, but he does something about them too. He gives relief to those who call on him in his good time, even by bringing that suffering to an end, just as he did that day on the road to Damascus. He brought the persecution of his people to an end by calling Paul to himself. But now, Luke tells us, the light goes away. And Paul continues on his way to Damascus, but something's changed. He can no longer see. Jesus has taken away his physical sight. The one who thought he could see now has to be led by the hand. But this blindness was meant for Paul's good. This physical blindness led him to see his own spiritual blindness. And for 3 days, he could not see. And for 3 days, he did not eat or drink. And for 3 days, he was continually in prayer. And at the end of those 3 days, the Lord spoke to Ananias, a Christian who was living within the city, and told him to go to Paul and to lay his hands on him so that he would regain his sight. God was going to show Paul mercy. But Ananias protests. He says to the Lord, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Maybe Ananias thinks that his life is in danger, and that's why he doesn't want to go. But more likely, what I think is happening is that he thinks if he helps Paul, he's going to cause a whole bunch of suffering for the other Christians. Because he knows what Paul's been doing, and he knows that if he gets better, maybe he would go back to doing that. More would suffer and die, just like it is at Jerusalem, and he would be helping the one who had caused so much pain. So why, Lord? Why do you want me to help him? But the Lord reassures him. "Go," he says, "for I will be with you. Go because I have chosen him. He will be my chosen instrument to carry my name. The one who persecuted my people will now preach. And far more good will come from him than all of the evil that he ever did." Now, of course, Ananias' protest is understandable. What God is doing doesn't always make a lot of sense to us. When we're looking at things from the outside, well, things might seem impossible. Things might seem hopeless. I mean, look at how many Paul had persecuted. Look at how many people he had put to death. Look at how many suffered at his hands. Why should I say anything to a person like him? What good would it do? But God's power is not limited. All things happen according to his will. And even someone like Paul can come to know the Lord and be saved. So we should not be afraid to do what God would have us do. We should be bold even when things seem dark and hopeless. And we should boldly proclaim the gospel even to those who seem hopeless. Because God's word will never return empty. And God is greater than all things. So Ananias listens to the Lord, goes to the house where Paul was staying. He lays his hands on him, and he speaks a word of blessing to him. And the Holy Spirit comes to Paul. And immediately we are told something like scales falls from his eyes. Paul's physical sight has been restored. But not only that, he is no longer spiritually blind. He immediately goes to be baptized because Paul now believed in Jesus Christ. And he who persecuted the church now belonged to it. And as the rest of the book of Acts will show us, God will continue to use Paul for his work, even at the cost of great suffering for the sake of his name. But Christians, Paul's conversion shows us that we should never despair. God can save anyone. No matter how great their sins may be, no matter how many they have done, God's grace is stronger. God's grace is greater. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash away even the deepest stain. So we should never pray, or we should never hesitate to pray, that others would come to know Jesus, no matter how far gone they may seem to be. God can save them too. And God will answer the prayers of his saints in his good time. Even if we have to pray for a long time, even if we have to pray for years and years, God can work miracles, just as he did with Paul. And we should not hesitate to speak the gospel to others. Speaking the gospel is never a wasted thing, because God is a God who can change hearts, just as he once changed the heart of Paul, and just as he once changed ours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has shown your steadfast love to the world through Jesus Christ, turn the hearts of those who do not know you, so that they too may believe and be saved. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.